Welcome to the March 19th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and cover the most important stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So Bitcoin is at 3970 this morning. That's about the same as it was yesterday evening, and even 24 hours ago. It's about 11 a.m. Eastern time right now, and yesterday at this time, Bitcoin was roughly at 3960, 3970. So there's not been much change for Bitcoin's price over the last 24 hours. It's still between that $3,900 support level, which used to be a resistance of what we finally broke through 3,900. But now we have just as hard of a resistance level at $4,000. So $4,000 is the level to watch to see if Bitcoin can continue rallying. And if we can get through 4,000, then we can maybe get to that long-term resistance level of $4,200. And that's the real level to watch to see if we can go on a bull run. If we could really break 4,200, we can go on a bull run like we haven't seen in a long time. And then the support levels to watch are 3,700. Well, I said 3,900 is a support level right now. And then there's 3,700. And if we break down below 3,700, we could retest the bear market low and long-term support level of 3,100. So the levels to really watch are 3,700 and 4,200, basically. And then there's smaller resistance and support levels in between that. As for the rest of the cryptocurrency market, it's mostly in the green this morning and rallying. So even though Bitcoin's not really up at all in the past 24 hours, other cryptos are trying to go up. So Ethereum is up 0.7%. Ripple is up 0.4%. Litecoin is up 0.8%. And Litecoin is just over $60. So Litecoin's really been leading the rally over the past month or so. And since the bear market low in mid-December, Litecoin has risen from $24 to over $60. Litecoin has really rallied a lot, and it's leading the market in terms of being bullish. EOS is up 0.6% this morning. Bitcoin Cash is basically nil. Past 24 hours, it's up 0.04%. Stellar is the big winner of the morning. It's up 6.5%. So Stellar was listed on Coinbase yesterday, and remember, it was listed on Coinbase Pro in the week before. But yesterday it was listed on actual Coinbase, like big retail mainstream Coinbase, and it is rallying a bit from that listing. It has surpassed Binance Coin in the coin market cap rankings, so Stellar's at number 7 and Binance Coin's now at number 8. Binance Coin's actually one of the few coins down at all this morning. It's down 0.3%, which isn't much. That could change throughout the day, could go back up. But yeah, Stellar's rallying. So the Coinbase effect still happens. Ripple did not see much of a Coinbase effect at all. It barely even moved, maybe it even went down from it being listed on Coinbase. But Stellar is going up from being listed on Coinbase. Moving down through the rest of the market analysis, Tron at number 10 on CoinMarketCap, it's up 0.4%. Cardano up 1.3%. And then we got Bitcoin SV is another crypto that's going down this morning. It's down 0.7%. Bitcoin SV has been absolutely struggling since it was created in mid-November when Bitcoin Cash forked. Monero up 2.6%. So Monero is doing pretty decent this morning. It's over $54 now. Monero is trying to reach that $1 billion market cap mark. It's at $916 million market cap. It will be important to watch to see if Monero could slide back above a $1 billion market cap. IOTA, the number one directed acyclic graph blockchain, is up 0.5%, $822 million market cap. Dash is basically nil on the past 24 hours, negative 0.04%. That's like nothing. It barely moved in the last 24 hours overall. Moving down the list of Dogecoin to complete our market analysis. It's up 0.7%, $248 million market cap. So Dogecoin has been rallying pretty good over the last week, actually. And it's trying to reattain that $250 million market cap. So overall, the total crypto market cap has increased a bit in the past 24 hours overall. About 24 hours ago, it was as low as $139 billion, and now it's at $140.5 billion. This is $40.5 billion above the bear market low, total crypto market cap of $100 billion. So the total crypto market since mid-December has gone up 40%, like the whole market put together. So that's pretty good. And it's a sign of bottoming. Like, the market might be bottoming out if this trend continues of us slowly pulling away from the bear market low. But we're going to have to watch for the next weeks and months to see if this trend continues. We're still in the bear market. The bear market could be vicious when it strikes. It is possible we could go back to that $100 billion bear market low, and that's why we got to watch that $3,700 level for Bitcoin, because if we collapse below that for whatever reason, then we could be heading back to $3,100 for Bitcoin, which is the bear market low, and the rest of the crypto market would probably follow. But there's also maybe an equal chance that we're going to keep going up, and slowly we could start confidently saying that the market is bottoming. But I'm not confident to say that yet. We're still in the bear market, but we are 40% above the bear market lows now, which is pretty decent. All right, moving on to the first interesting story of the day. So Dubai, which is like a really big and wealthy city in the United Arab Emirates, it's where the Burj Khalifa is, the tallest skyscraper in the world. They have put in their first Bitcoin ATM. So that means people could trade in their cash for cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. And I think this ATM will be seeing a lot of use. It's like the only Bitcoin ATM in a huge city, like a global-class city. So there'll probably be more ATMs, Bitcoin ATMs in Dubai after this. It's a profitable business model, as has been seen by the growth of the Bitcoin ATMs. Currently, at this time, there's 4,430 crypto ATMs in the world. Almost all of those are like Bitcoin ATMs, and then a lot of them also have Ethereum functionality, and maybe Litecoin, a Monero. And then some of them have Dogecoin functionality. There's only like a handful of cryptocurrencies that are actually integrated into these ATMs. But yeah, most of them are Bitcoin ATMs, predominantly. But 4,430. And it has been constantly increasing. At the beginning of 2018, January 1st, 2018, there was 2,062 Bitcoin ATMs. At the beginning of 2019, there was 4,124 Bitcoin ATMs. So since the beginning of 2019, we've seen the addition of over 300 Bitcoin ATMs around the world. And then just go back even more. 2017, 965. 2016, 501. 2015, 326. And then go back to 2014, there was 4 crypto ATMs in the entire world. So it's grown from being like a non-existent industry. Like, it just started, it was embryonic in 2014, and now we got 4,430 crypto ATMs around the world. This is often not discussed among people doing market analysis, but it is one of the main fundamental factors that is helping to grow the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is the real ground game for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. It's going to spread adoption. Each one of these crypto and Bitcoin ATMs is basically like an exchange, but an exchange you could use in person. So you could take your cash and buy cryptocurrency, and a lot of them are two-way ATMs. You could actually take your cryptocurrency and get the cash. And that makes cryptocurrency usable in everyday life. Like, let's say someone's paid with Bitcoin, they can go to a two-way crypto ATM and get the cash for it. And then they could pay the rent, buy their food, etc. So there's plenty of crypto exchanges in the world, like Coinbase and Circle and Bitfinex and Bitstamp, but crypto and Bitcoin ATMs are even easier to use because you can just drive up to them in person and get your cash instantly or get your crypto instantly. So it really helps increase adoption, and it also turns Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies that are accepted by the ATMs into like a real currency that could be used in everyday life. And the more ATMs we're seeing around the world, the stronger the crypto space is getting. So this is constantly an increasingly good factor for the crypto and Bitcoin space, that we're seeing a proliferation of Bitcoin and crypto ATMs worldwide. Moving on to the next story of the day. Apparently, Switzerland's biggest online retailer is starting to accept Bitcoin. So their biggest online retailer is called Digitech Galaxis. That's a pretty cool name, actually. I never heard of them before. But they're the biggest online retailer in Switzerland, apparently. And they're accepting Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin SV, Ethereum, Ripple, Binance Coin, Litecoin, Tron, Omisco, and Neo. So they're accepting a lot of different cryptocurrencies just right off the bat. And this is another positive step for adoption. So just like the ground game is these crypto ATMs, another part of our ground game for increasing Bitcoin and crypto adoption is seeing major retailers start to accept Bitcoin and other forms of cryptocurrency. So this is kind of like Amazon in Switzerland. Imagine if Amazon would accept Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. I think it will happen one day eventually, actually. So this is a positive sign that we're seeing a major company accept Bitcoin. And we need to see more of this. Imagine if we can get Walmart, like Publix, all the big actual retail stores that are physical to start accepting Bitcoin and crypto. Well, it starts with stuff like this. Big companies around the world starting to accept it, and it's been proliferating. there's not less companies accepting Bitcoin. There's more and more, and that increases the user base of Bitcoin. It increases the functionality of Bitcoin. So this is really the important fundamental stuff we need to see for Bitcoin to rally. And because the more users you got, the more interest you got in it, the more people buying it, and the more people using it, that's the fundamentals that will drive the market. And that's what's going to get us out of the bear market. And it might be a slow process, but with this ATM being added in Dubai and the general proliferation of ATMs worldwide, and now we have major online retailers beginning to accept Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency, this could take us out of the bear market. Moving on to the next story of the day. So Japan is changing the way that leverage trading is done. Like, the government is issuing regulations. And it's a little more sane and sober than the news we talked about yesterday, where Canada is trying to ban short selling and get rid of margin trading completely, which I discussed how that's not really a good thing because it forces the traders underground, so the government can't even get their taxes, they can't even keep track of it, and then the traders kind of have to break the law. So that's not a good thing. They might as well just make it legal and regulate it. Well, Japan is making it legal and regulating it. They're capping the amount of leverage trading that can be done to 2 to 4x. So, like, we see BitMEX has, like, 100x leverage trading. If people want to do that, it's very risky. But, you know, it's possible. You could do 100x on BitMEX. Well, Japan is saying you can only do 2 to 4 times the amount of money you deposited as leverage. And I think that's actually a good strategy. It prevents big losses on the parts of the traders. And also, it prevents the exchange from somehow getting huge losses. Because I remember OKX... like, they had an incident where there was, like, an extreme leverage trade, and it actually, like, caused OKX to lose a ton of money, and then OKX used their entire community fund of, like, it was, like, an insurance policy, kind of. Like, they burned through all their money for protection from this sort of event. So OKX is based out in Asia, and it had a serious problem of leverage trading. And now Japan is saying, yeah, you can only leverage 2 to 4 times the amount you deposit. But then the more regulatory piece of this news beyond that is that all the exchanges that do leverage trading are going to have to register with the Japanese government, and that might be the hard part. So they're going to have to undergo a registration process that's apparently different than any other registration process for other types of exchanges. So crypto exchanges are going to have a unique registration process with the Japanese government in order to offer leverage trading. We'll see how this goes. I'm a little skeptical because sometimes in the United States we see, like, the government say, yeah, you got to register to do this. And, like, just an example is the Securities and Exchange Commission saying ICOs, initial coin offerings, have to register in order to do an ICO at all. And then the SEC has not approved any ICO at all ever in the years that this law has been in place. Hopefully it's not like then in Japan with this situation. But you never know until you really start seeing exchanges actually register and get the certification from the government if this is a real process or if they're actually banning this sort of thing. Well, we'll see. And now for perhaps the most important news of the day, the best for last. So we've talked about the Craig Wright lawsuit. In fact, there's an article on crypto.iq, a deep dive of this lawsuit. Basically, Craig Wright was working with Dave Kleinman, a man in Florida. And Craig Wright, of course, is infamous and famous crypto influencer that kind of bans everyone from his Twitter, and he claims to be Satoshi, and he doesn't let anyone fight him about it, but he won't prove it. So he claims to be Satoshi. A lot of people call him Fake Toshi. And so this lawsuit is actually between the estate of Dave Kleinman and Craig Wright. There was business agreements between Dave Kleinman and Craig Wright because apparently they mined like 1 million bitcoins together. That is pretty certain, actually. Like, there's a lot of evidence. And the whole lawsuit is based on that, how Dave Kleinman and Craig Wright mined, like, maybe 1.1 million bitcoins in the early days of Bitcoin. And that's, like, almost the amount that Satoshi Nakamoto mined. So, that's really interesting. And there's still a slight chance that Craig Wright is somehow related to Satoshi, or is Satoshi. It's a very small chance. They might have just been really early Bitcoin miners. But anyways, Craig Wright claims he wrote the Bitcoin white paper. He was claiming that, like, maybe a week or two ago. And now it's all coming back to him. Now the court's, like, really interested. And the court is asking for information from early Bitcoin developers to prove that Craig Wright is Satoshi, or if Dave Kleinman is Satoshi. So Jeff Garzik actually said in a Bloomberg interview, and Jeff Garzik is an early Bitcoin developer, he said, "My personal theory is that Floridian Dave Kleinman is Satoshi. It matches his coding style. This gentleman was self-taught. And the Bitcoin coder was someone who was very, very smart, but not classically trained software engineer." So Jeff Garzik said that in a Bloomberg interview. Now Jeff Garzik has been subpoenaed by the court. to provide all the information related to Craig Wright and Satoshi and Dave Kleinman. So the court is specifically asking for all the communications, documents, and agreements between him and Satoshi. And also, they're asking for all the communications to Jeff Garzik and Craig Wright. And then they're asking for communications and documents and evidence related to all of the Bitcoin mining that Jeff Garzik conducted. And then they go beyond that. They ask for, like, all these other people, like Uwen Nguyen, all things related to the Silk Road and the Prometheus Project, and Ian Gregg, Richard Zalewski, Deborah Kobza, Andrew O'Hagan, Robert McGregor, Stephen Matthews, Calvin Ayer, Roger Ver, which is often called Bitcoin Jesus. He's like the head of Bitcoin.com, I believe, and yeah, he was one of the early Bitcoin people. John Matonis and Andrew J. Filipowski. So this is a subpoena from the court in the relation to this Craig Wright versus Dave Kleinman case, where the estate of Dave Kleinman is asking for their share of those 1.1 million Bitcoins that were mined, and Craig Wright has absolutely refused to give them anything, even though it appears there was business agreements that, you know, Dave Kleinman owned like half the Bitcoins or something that were mined, and then Craig Wright kind of ran off of it. So the family's trying to get those Bitcoins and money back, because we're talking like it's billions of dollars, okay? So it's a billions of dollar lawsuit against Craig Wright for the early Bitcoins that were mined. So back to what's going on here. Jeff Garzik is being subpoenaed for like all the information that he had from the early days of Bitcoin. And this feels like a power grab by the federal courts. Like, they're using this lawsuit between Craig Wright and the estate of Dave Kleinman in order to get, like, critical early information about Satoshi. Like, Jeff Garzik doesn't even have a choice. Like, he has to send this information to the courts. It would be illegal if he did not. Like, that's his choice if he's going to not comply. But he would need, like, a powerful lawyer. And I kind of hope he does get a powerful lawyer and, like, tries to stop this. Because what is it, the right of the government? It's not the right of the government, in my view, that they get all the early information about Satoshi. Like, they're asking for all documents and data and all instant messages and all communications and everything about Satoshi from Jeff Garzik. And Jeff Garzik was an early Bitcoin developer that worked with Satoshi. So that's pretty bad stuff. And we don't know yet if any other early Bitcoin developers have been subpoenaed or will be subpoenaed. Like, what I'm thinking, basically, is that the federal courts are using this as a way to get all the information about Satoshi and the early Bitcoin developers in the early days of Bitcoin. And a lot of those names I listed were involving people from Mt. Gox and people from the Silk Road, apparently. So basically, the federal court is using this court case between Craig Wright and Dave Kleinman in order to get all the info about the early days of Bitcoin. I think it's dangerous. It could be how they reveal like the earliest people in Bitcoin and maybe do something against them in the future. And they're using it under the guise like, oh, we got to figure out who owes who in this Craig Wright versus Dave Kleinman case. I honestly think it's not proper for other people to be pulled into this lawsuit that have nothing to do with the lawsuit. Like, Jeff Garzik has nothing to gain from this lawsuit. He is not involved in this lawsuit, yet they're asking for all of his critical personal info and critical confidential info about the early days of Bitcoin. So that's not really fair. And I think it's a breach of power. It's an abuse of power. We will keep you updated on this situation. It's going to be going on for a while. Court cases take forever in the United States. So this will be going on for months and probably years. And it's probably going to be really interesting to watch this particular court case and lawsuit, because I think a lot of information is going to end up being revealed about the early days of Bitcoin and Satoshi, actually, and Craig Wright and Dave Kleinman. So there's a lot of critical secretive information that might be revealed via this court case. Because basically, since Craig Wright is claiming to be Satoshi, and then they mined 1.1 million Bitcoins, and Craig Wright and Dave Kleinman mined that much, which is the same amount that Satoshi mined, according to blockchain forensics, like, the court really has to figure out, like, in a court of law, is Craig Wright Satoshi? We might actually get a ruling that Craig Wright is Satoshi. It's possible. Like, even if he's not, that could be a ruling. So this is a really the most important court case to watch in the entire Bitcoin and crypto space. And it's really only just beginning. Craig Wright was trying really hard to get this case dismissed. Remember, he's very wealthy and has very powerful lawyers. They had like 20 or 30 reasons why the case should be dismissed. And that was what was going on with the suit before now. And the judge like absolutely said, no, you're not dismissing this case. It will be tried right here. And by the way, it's in Florida. It's in the court for the Southern District of Florida. So now that they're past not dismissing the suit, the subpoenas are going out, and it seems like early Bitcoin people are at risk of receiving a subpoena, like the earliest Bitcoin developers. Like, I guess Gavin Anderson would be at risk of getting a subpoena because he publicly stated that Craig Wright is Satoshi, and he probably has information that they want. So Gavin Anderson got to be secretive before, and he basically released a statement that said, yeah, like, Craig Wright flew me out, and he showed me he's Satoshi, he signed the private key, but he didn't, like, release any, like, critical info that could prove he's Satoshi, besides that Gavin Anderson is sure that Craig Wright is Satoshi. Well, if the court subpoenas him, they're going to get, like, every little bit of info possible, I guess. So this is going to be a very revealing case, and it's only just begun. So we'll keep you updated over the next months and years about how this case is progressing. And this case involves so many Bitcoins. We're talking like 1.1 million Bitcoins that it's actually important for the Bitcoin market. Like, let's say Dave Kleinman's estate wins and then they want to liquidate the Bitcoins or something. You know, that could actually, it wouldn't really affect the market too much theoretically, but the speculation from all those Bitcoins being dumped, the speculation alone might cause the market to crash. But of course, that's a long time from now, if that even happens at all. We'll see who wins this case. So that's all we have for you today on this March 19th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the Crypto.IQ Trading Desk. They have made over 280% profits since July, and if you join the Trading Desk, you can see their trades in real time, complete with full trade analysis for each trade. And also, you can ask the Crypto.IQ expert traders any question you want, and they'll answer your questions in real time. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become a profitable cryptocurrency trader. And there's a 2-week free trial right now, so it's free to try it, and I'm sure you're going to love it. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.